Hello, I'm Daniel Gregory, and welcome to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I hope you're having a great week and getting a lot of photographs taken. I know for me, this has been a really interesting week because I've been dealing with a couple of questions. I've been working with different people and kind of looking at my own work, and two things have come up. One is really about how do we create a story that engages the viewer, and how does that relate to a good photograph? Well, how do you know a photograph is good or not? And I thought that was such an interesting question because there's something about the way we start to learn photography, there's something about the way we start to learn to create images that has us fall back on a couple of different things. One of which is we start to think about photographs and what determines whether or not they're good or not based on composition, technical aspects of the photograph, maybe how the tonality relates in a black and white image or how the color palette's used. As we start to get more and more understanding about how those rules of composition or guidelines of composition and technical issues start to shape our appreciation of a photograph, we start to rely more and more on just the technical aspect as what defines and ultimately creates a good photograph. However, if you continue down the path of working as a good photographer and as a what I would consider a photographer who continues to grow, you start to realize that what those things are that we initially begin to look at as elements of a good photograph are in fact the tools that ultimately shape and create the good photograph. Because it's entirely possible to have a classic composition that should, by all accounts, make an interesting photograph. The objects and subjects are placed in the frame such that they are properly aligned in a way that would be visually appreciated by a viewer. They have an appeal to them based on their color palette. They have an interesting structure to them. And yet when we look at the photograph, we don't ultimately connect with it. We ultimately don't make any interest with the photograph. So what I've been realizing as I've been working with people and looking at my own work is that what ultimately matters is we connect with the work and understand the work as an engagement. So whether you're looking back at kind of the classic Ansel quote about there's always two people in the photograph, the photographer and the viewer, and it's been said a number of different ways. Ultimately, it's our engagement with the photograph. It's our ability to relate to the thing within the photograph that defines whether or not the photograph is good or not. If you think about defining quality of good as something you like or don't like, well, that's going to limit things down in a really significant way. But ultimately, we engage with a lot of photography and a lot of art we may not necessarily like, we may not necessarily understand, but we find it engaging and compelling enough that we really want to stick with it. And so I think that's one of the things when we start to evaluate, what do I need to look at in my own work? What do I need to look at when I'm working with other people's work about creating strong and interesting work? We need to find work that's ultimately about the level of engagement. And this takes me into something that I think has happened to a lot of photographers as they start to figure out their own photographs, as they start to seek out feedback, they start to seek out ways in which they can communicate what their work's about. They ultimately end up doing a couple of things. One, they fall victim to a habit that's developed through social media and through the way we communicate, through the way our language is constructed, and it's through a soundbite. We look for 140 characters or 280 characters, but we look for a really small, super simple way to explain something, and we want it to sound witty, we want it to sound intelligent, we want it to come off and just quickly off the tongue. But in fact, sometimes engagement requires more than that. It requires more than a simple 140-character phrase. It requires more than just a simple little soundbite. So as you're starting to get more and more into your photography, starting to develop questions that require more sophisticated answers. Because if you can answer the question with a soundbite, you might not be asking the proper question. You may not be phrasing things in such a way that you can really find engaging work. So the question of which is the right camera to use versus the question of why did you select the camera you use, the question of how do you select a camera that allows you to better resonate with the work, all invoke different thoughts, different feelings, different emotions. So if you're finding yourself at a point where you're giving yourself very quick answers about a photograph that you've created that you're not connecting with or that you are connecting with, but if you're finding yourself living in a world of very snippy little sound bites, you might want to rephrase the context by which you're thinking of the photographs. You may find yourself living on a surface level relationship with the work and not really diving into the deeper, true essence and elements of the work. I think the challenge you have when you're creating that kind of work is that we ultimately want to create photographs that have a weight to them. They have a gravity to them. And if you think about some of the best things in life that you experience, sometimes it requires more than a soundbite. Sometimes we need a stronger conversation. We need a deeper level of commitment to the actual identification of what we're talking about to make things work, to make the project work, to make the idea work. The other thing that short little soundbites do is they're really interesting because they can provide a rapid fire sort of creativity boost. They can allow us to quickly rapid fire and come up with a possible way of thinking about something we haven't before. So it's not that that's not an effective process. It's just you need to understand what that is actually doing to your creative process. So if you're in a, I need to move things forward quickly, I need a sharp way of looking at something, that's one type of creativity exercise to do with your work. But if you're looking for a deeper, more meaningful experience with the work, you need to think more and more in depth about the type of structure you're providing for the answers you give. And if what you're always doing, like I said, is giving yourself short, quick answers, you might want to think about a different way of thinking about the work so you can truly uncover the essence of what the work is about. I think if you also do that, you might find ways that your work could relate in ways you haven't seen before, because you're now requiring yourself to spend time with the photographs to come up with this deeper, more conversational tone with the photograph. An analogy for this to kind of really drive the message home, because I think it's that critical, is if you think about going out to dinner with a friend who you haven't seen in a long time and they've had a lot of life changes and a lot of things have gone on in your life, and you could only communicate in sentences that were constructed of three words, and after you said your three words, the other person had to respond in three words. Not only would the conversation not potentially be that fulfilling, but it might prove a challenge of getting a real deep reconnection with the person you're having dinner with. So by allowing yourself to have more and more ways of conversing about the work, I think you'll find a much stronger, deeper relationships develops. I think another aspect that's really critical as you're starting to think about really what defines a good photograph is that you think about the way we talk about our own process and our own work. We compare ourselves to others all the time, and I don't think that's unusual, and I don't think that means anything terrible is happening. What that means is we're just relating to other people in a way to push ourselves forward to determine how well are we doing in relationship to our peers. But at the same time, one of the things that I think we have to be able to do is realistically judge where we are today, where we were yesterday, and where we'll be tomorrow. Because one of the other things that's critical about looking at a good photograph and determining what you've done to create, because one of the things that's critical about looking at your photography is you have to relate to where you actually were at that time in your understanding of what makes a good photograph. So if you were starting off and looking at your earliest work, you may have had an intuitive process by which you got to a good, strong composition that allowed you to create a deep emotional connection to the subject matter. And other times you didn't, because it was intuitive, it didn't always happen. But if you go back and look at your early work and you judge it under the eye of somebody who's had 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years of photographic experience, you might feel that those images aren't as strong. At the same time, you might look at work you're creating today and feel like, oh my God, something is terrible here because I shouldn't be making these types of mistakes in my photography. I know better than this. Well, one of the things that could be happening there is you could actually be starting to see and experience something in a different way. Maybe the level of focus, maybe the way things are knocked out of focus, maybe the things overlap in an image say that you need to start thinking about your photography in a different way. Maybe you need to start compositing. Maybe you need to be working with double exposures. Maybe there's something else you need to be doing with your photography that says something different than what you've always created. So if you're judging your own work based on what you know today for yesterday and then anticipating forward, you're never going to be able to successfully judge what makes a good image because you're stuck in a loop that's having you evaluate yourself and the type of photographs you create in a way that I think discredits your experience at the time. That experience ultimately defines how those images were structured and how they were created. It's also one of the reasons when you look at early work and you see something that really resonates with you, there's a magic to that because, like I said, there's an instinctual event that happened that had you just through your intuition create this amazing and beautiful photograph. But as you bring that forward, hopefully it becomes more and more repeatable. And you have no idea what you might create in the future. The other piece I think is interesting about that definition of what makes a good photograph is a little bit of what I talked about in the beginning, is that photographers actually in some cases don't even know what things compositionally make for a good photograph. And it's not to say that you always have to follow those rules, but there are certain things in the structure of a photograph, the way a leading line works, the way the golden ratio works, the way the rule of thirds work. There's just things that we have learned through thousands of years of art being created that are visually pleasing to us for a variety of reasons. And that's not to say that you can't bend or break those, but not understanding what those even are can be a limit to your understanding of what makes a good photograph. It could also be that your lack of being able to articulate that is one of the reasons you struggle when critiquing your own work or somebody else's work. Because if you look at a certain photograph and you're like, well, that photograph just works for me, and the reason it works for you is because it follows a rule of third and has a certain tonal relationship, a certain subject matter size ratio that is pleasing to you, those photographs would work for you. Where if it doesn't have that, a photograph might not work for you as a good photograph. But understanding what's causing that in the composition and being able to articulate it would be incredibly insightful for you to being able to understand more and more what you need to do to create a great photograph. As you start to look back at your own work, start to think about it is how do you conceptualize the discussion of your work? When you think about what makes one of your photographs good, are you a person who lives in the soundbite arena? Or are you a person who's got the sin on the other side of that and you spend 500,000 words to describe something that should take two? Both sides of that coin probably cause an equal level of frustration in the critique process and an evaluation of your own photography. But I think for most of us, we probably lean towards that shorter side, that 140 character soundbite. So getting your head wrapped around what is that actually doing to the impact of your work, I think would be significant. The other thing I think you can really look at is evaluating your work based on the criteria of where you are and understanding, like I said, that how you created work early on, how you create work later will all be different. And remembering that photographers, just like all other artists, go through phases. Picasso went through a blue phase. Rothko went through a phase where he was not dealing with the structure levels of color that he was in what are some of his more iconic paintings. We're all influenced and we shift as artists based on things that are going on around us. So being able to understand that our work will evolve and change, we will grow and change, and being able to articulate what is significant to us about that work, I think is all one of the things that will really help drive us to create things that really matter to us. And if you think about from a commercial photography standpoint or an editorial concept, being able to articulate what your work's about in more than 2 seconds and how you have a vision for a project, you have a vision for an idea, and you can explain that experience to a set of art directors or a set of commercial directors provides an insight that not necessarily every other photographer is going to come with. I think what ultimately makes a great photograph is that they all come together, no matter what elements are in there, to create a sense of engagement and connection with the work. So it becomes a lot easier for you to talk about photography as a way of connecting and engaging rather than recording, capturing, and snapshotting. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. I hope you're able to get some time to spend with family and friends as we kind of wind down the year. The next couple of podcasts, we'll be talking about how to set up for a successful 2018. Some of the things that I think you need to think about as you reflect back on the year and ways to think forward so that you can put yourself in a position to be really successful moving forward into 2018. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes. Or you can find us on the Google Play Store or any other place podcasts are found. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.